Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And we are back with another episode of Happy Hour. Good morning to you, Frankenberry, along with the ladies, Jonna and Carol. And it's like Easter.
See, yeah, it's not just any morning.
It's not just any morning at all.
Did you color eggs? No. You?
All the single people didn't us. Did you two color eggs? Yes, because you know what? I wanted my Easter to be even sadder than it already was. I'm going to go on my own Easter egg hunt. I'm going to see if I can remember where I put them. I did it drunk last night, so I might have a chance of actually enjoying the hunt.
Are you being real? Are you pulling my leg?
I'm just being sarcastic there, pesky.
I can't color eggs anymore. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I started buying, through somebody who works with Craig, my husband Craig, local free-range organic eggs from this lady. She brings them in fresh every week, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But they're not white.
Well, they're brown.
Yeah, of course. Can't color them. Or I just hide them brown.
So, yeah, but so what you're saying is you couldn't just go into a grocery store and just buy one dozen regular eggs?
Frankenberry, I'm just making an excuse for not coloring it.
Oh, okay. Here. Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I did buy Easter candy.
I've done
that. Of course you did.
For my office.
Wait. I know what you bought. Want me to tell you? Want me to tell you what you bought?
Sure.
I know what you bought.
What about?
You bought the egg-shaped Reese's peanut butter cups because they rule. Am I right?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
I hate them. I like my Reese's peanut butter cups in cup shape.
Now, you realize.
No, the ratio with the egg of the peanut butter to the chocolate is perfect on the egg shape. And the trees.
No, it's not.
Right, Frankenberry? Back me up.
No good. Nope.
Okay.
I need a cup.
For those of you out there that obviously cannot see us, right now I have a scrunchy, confused face going on right
butter?
Now. Okay, because we're having an argument as to whether the shape of a particular candy
it
ruins
matters.
The whole thing.
It's about the ratio of peanut butter to chocolate.
Thing.
We've had this discussion.
Dang,
you've changed
I wish
your
we
position.
Could take call. Uh-uh. No. Now.
Egg, tree.
You know what? Okay. So if you want to put
cup.
Like
eight, and then forget the little
18
cups.
Eggs in
they
front
suck.
Of me and then 18 of the no, the little mini
No.
Bleh.
They're the worst. Too much
you
chocolate.
Know what? I have known you forever. And I'm glad I'm just finding this out now. Cuz we might not have been friends all this time had I learned this years ago. But I can't but I will say this, not that I'm really doing Weight Watchers at the moment, but the little mini Reese's peanut butter cups are only 1 point. So you can have 23 of them a day. You can't eat anything else, but you can eat 23
Wait,
of
so
them.
So do you that space those
know.
Out like at the top of the hour?
You
pop,
can't
another one.
Space them out. They get spaced out.
What about Cadbury eggs? You know the little ones?
Oh, don't. Can you? That, I wish you could like rewind this and take that back. Do not say Cadbury eggs in here.
I
do
not like them.
Not the nasty ones with the filling inside.
The one that looks like an egg that like
no,
the
no,
eggy
no, no,
filling.
No. Just a little tiny. It's just chocolate
it's
covered in candy.
No, not
because
the same.
Cadbury is the best chocolate.
Mm.
The rest of the chocolate is just for the peasants.
Dove is up there too.
I'm getting up.
Peasants.
And I'm walking
The rest
out.
Of the chocolate is for the peasants.
Getting up and I'm walking out.
Hershey's, for
There's
instance.
A lot of people right now who are agreeing with
Speaking
me.
Speaking of chocolate.
Yes.
And I don't want to bash anybody local, but there's a local candy maker who I like to patronize during the holidays. And my in-laws who have moved away love their candy. Mm-hmm. So I get the bright idea. Let me go pick up some chocolates to send down south. For.
How nice.
Yeah. So picked up a couple things, $45 later.
Oh, yeah.
$45 right. in chocolate.
Worth it.
Bought four things. Shipped it today for $10.
Yeah.
Picked up a card, two cards for $8, $9 total.
Mm-hmm.
What am I up to?
60.
Like 100 million.
Tell me that was a bright idea.
They couldn't just ship. They don't ship for you. You can't like order online.
Like that would have been cheaper. All right. Anyway,
did you ship them in a container with ice?
No.
So they don't melt in the mail before
they
get there.
Oh, they're already melted.
It's the winter that never ended, so I don't think there's any risk of these things melting. And if they do, don't really care. Okay?
Happy Easter.
She really liked these folks when she first started buying the candy, and then when she was all done writing out the checks or
happy
or clicking
Easter.
Yes on final checkout online, she said, "Oh my Lord,
buy your own chocolate next year."
These right. family members are not worth that much to me.
Oh my goodness, dear.
So, well, speaking of the resurrection of Christ, I am fairly certain. I'm fairly certain that my house is haunted.
Oh,
hold on!
No, it's mice,
resurrection,
and
of
animals that are
house
around all the time.
Is haunted.
Yeah, you don't see. Connection?
I'm working on it. It'll come to me.
All
go
right,
ahead.
I think it's there. All right. So here's the thing. You guys know. I think I've complained on the air. I have
Wait,
had.
You've complained on the air.
A time or two.
I don't know. That never happens.
I have had, since Bombogenesis back in January, I have had a spate of things going wrong with my house, all related to the plumbing. Everything related to the plumbing. And I have noticed a pattern. Always seems to happen on a Monday, because I'm typically coming back from the city on a Monday. And I've had like three or four things in a row. Now tell me, do you think that could be a sign, and all different things, that my house is haunted?
What could plumbing represent in your life?
Plumbing?
Yeah.
there's a lot of ways you can go with that.
Oh. Huh. You think my house is about to go through menopause?
Is your house having hot flashes?
No, my house is having cold flashes.
Oh, it is, isn't it? That's right. I forgot about
that.
My
house is having cold flashes.
How about this? How about the fact that your house is just upset that you go away on the weekends and it misses you?
Your house is spewing things under pressure.
Right?
Does that correlate in any way to you?
Do you think? I mean,
does your house leak when it laughs?
Actually, it did.
It's laughing at
did.
Her.
No, but isn't that crazy? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's normal to have, what do you call it? Like rapid fire plumbing problems that are,
I mean, your house
all
froze up and pipes burst.
No, pipes burst. They almost burst. They did not burst.
Oh, you never had any leaks as a result of that?
No. We saved him from bursting,
all right,
which was,
so that was good.
Not easy.
Well, and then your shower exploded.
Then the shower exploded.
Well, wouldn't a plumber say to you that a lot of this is just one relates to the next relates to the next? You know, as things are compensating for what might be wrong here, something maybe gets overloaded there or something builds up here.
Maybe there was a hairline crack. So the latest leak was your hot water heater?
So the hot water heater, which I can't play this video. I can't play this video. So what have you know when something, you walk into your house, and I notice immediately when something's like even a little weird. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people. And so I walked into my house earlier this week on a Monday, and I hear a strange noise. And so being the sleuth that I am, I identify the noise pretty quickly. And it's coming out of a heating grate, but only one heating grate. And it's the heating grate over where the furnace room is. So I'm like, this ain't right. This just ain't right. So I go down into the furnace room and I hear this, it get the noises louder, like shh, shh, and it's constant. So I open the door, and there's no light in the furnace room. There's no light there. I open the door, and it's like, it was like a sauna. It was like spritzy, spritzy, spritzy water and a sauna, right? So I don't go in the room. I figure I've got it nailed, all right, that something is spritzing water. So I contact my plumber, and he's like, well, take a picture of it. So now I got to get a flashlight, and when I enter into the room, that's when I discover, when I push the door all the way open, that's not just a gentle mist. It's like this gusher coming out of the side of a tank, hitting the wall at full speed.
No.
Like, I could have power washed my jewelry had I been so inclined, like just holding
my... Was there a flood, too, or was it just...
It wasn't so bad, because either it had recently started, or because it's, I don't know, it's a concrete floor. There wasn't too much of a flood. But anyway, so I'm recording it, and when I discover the issue, I exclaim almost uncontrollably, holy bleep! Now what do I do? And then I stop the tape, and I send it to my plumber. Anyway, long story short, so I had another day without water. I had to shut the water off, blah, 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 blah. But my plumber comes, and within 24 hours, he fixes whatever ails me. Yeah. But it's got to stop. Like Esther Hicks, who is the, what would you call her when it comes to the law of attraction? A guru, an expert?
I would say guru.
So, yeah, Esther
Hicks. Communicating with source.
She's one of the premier, preeminent people on that subject. She once said that she had an issue with floors wherever she went. Like every house that she'd ever been in or any place she ever rented, there would always be an issue with the floors. And that when she figured that out, she could think her way to not have any more problem with the floors. I think I got to do the same thing with my plumbing.
Well, and it is free.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. No, yeah, it's...
Either that or ghost, Frankenberry. Take your pick.
I'd rather go with ghosts. At least you have the possibility of, you know, companionship while you're going through all of this. You know, because you're in the house by yourself. I'm telling you, it's just the house is PO'd because you go off on the weekends, you ignore the house, and then when you come back, you expect the house to be a house and do what a house does. And the house says, no, I'm sorry. I'm tired of doing everything housey around here just for you, lady, when you don't contribute anything and you leave on the weekends.
Very good care of my house.
She talks to it.
I do. And when I leave, I go, big house hug.
And your house misses you when you're gone.
Maybe that's
it. It's like my cats attacking the people that feed them while I'm not there. They're just upset that I'm gone.
Oh, you and those cats. Maybe that's what I need. I need to leave a couple of cats at home.
That
might
not be a bad idea since you have had mice issues.
Well, you would actually enjoy having a couple of cats. I know you might. You've never had them before. You've said that you never really weren't a cat person.
I had two cats, and I itched for 6 years.
Here's the part that I can't. You love animals so much. Here's the part I can't see with you and a cat.
We're a lot alike.
The fact that they can just pounce up on a kitchen countertop at any time that they want. I can't see that causing you calm and happiness.
Yeah, don't come to my apartment.
And you can't stop cats from shedding. Like, my dogs have hair, not fur, so they don't shed. So they're not really messy. Cats, you can't stop from shedding, and you can't stop them from jumping up on stuff. And when they got their little paws in the kitty litter, and then they want to jump up on the table and jump up on the counter, and as cute as it may be, it ain't my deal. Oh. Sorry, Frankenberry.
Oh, and I love animals. Don't get me wrong, but there's certain aspects about certain animals, and that's one that I can't see fitting into your little non-bubble.
Nah. Your cats, how do you keep your cats, Frankenberry, from burning themselves on the stove?
I don't have a stove.
Good answer. Did you ever?
Next
question. I've had stoves.
Yes.
How do you keep them from hurting themselves?
I've never had a cat go anywhere near the stove when the stove is on. I think they can feel the heat coming off. They're smart enough to know.
And they know.
They know.
Have you ever had a cat walk on a very high banister?
If I've had a banister, I mean, cats they like high places. They will get up as high as they possibly can.
What makes you ask?
Well, because these are all the things I would be nervous about. Cat on a very high banister, I'd be like, no! And then I'd lunge for the cat, and the cat would jump.
And you'd fall through the banister.
And then the cat would hurt himself. But they say cats always land on their feet, and they have 9 lives, but I don't know that to be a fact.
I don't think you would need to worry about all that stuff as much as you possibly think you should.
I think you're good. All right, how about we take a break? When we come back, we are going to be talking with Anna Sabino. She is the author of Your Creative Career, Turn Your Passion into a Fulfilling and Financially Rewarding Lifestyle. So anyone out there who maybe has a side hustle or a passion or something they'd love to do, Anna is going to tell her story of how she left a Wall Street job to pursue her passion and create a very successful jewelry business. And now she's turned those lessons into a book to help other people figure out how to make that happen.
Jewelry.
I was just going to say, that's right up your alley. So, do you own any pieces of her jewelry, Carol?
I do not.
Okay.
Yet.
Yet. Okay. Well, we'll find out from Anna how you could possibly use your creative side and turn it into a nice, possibly a full-time gig like her, apparently.
Yep.
All right. That is on the way. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will be back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we've returned to Happy Hour here with Jonna and Carol and Frankenberry, and it's time now to get to our guest. And if you, yourself, out there, maybe you have a passion, you've got a hobby, and you'd like to possibly turn it into a living.
Right.
And get your creative side out there and have it be worthwhile at the same time.
Which you love.
We are going to talk to a person who's going to help you out with just that.
Yeah, and here's what I love. So we have, on the line with us, Anna Sabino. She is the author of Your Creative Career, Turn Your Passion into a Fulfilling and Financially Rewarding Life. And what is wonderful about this is Anna is a shining example. She used to have a Wall Street job and had a passion for being creative and creating jewelry and turned that into a very successful career. So as if that's not enough, she had the foresight and the wisdom and the love to then take the time to write a book and share the lessons she learned along the way for other people. She is the designer behind her jewelry brand is Lucid New York. She started that more than a decade ago. Her jewelry collections, easy for me to say, have been featured by the editors of People, Style Watch, Vogue, Cosmopolitan, and many others. She speaks, coaches, and leads workshops focusing on growing your creative business, creating multiple streams of income, and working remotely. All sounds heavenly to me. Anna shares valuable business advice for artists and other creatives in the book Your Creative Career, which was published by Career Press. For free resources for creative entrepreneurs, please visit www.annasabino.com. We'll make sure we give that away again at the end of the interview. Anna, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And, you know, I love reading your story. I got to tell you, I'm blessed enough to have some creative outlets in my life. And I think I would go crazy if I weren't able to do some of that. Yeah, I just it's like something in me that has to come out. I wonder if you can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to have these creative remix mix in your life. It's nowadays, it's just so exciting to have the careers and the hustles and the hobbies, which make up for a colorful life.
So why don't you start by telling, I mentioned it briefly as I introduced you, but why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about your story? You were working on Wall Street. That had to be challenging and not stressful at all.
Yes. Yeah, so when I was working on Wall Street, I definitely felt, you know, the boundaries, and I had a feeling that my growth was limited, my expansion, my creativity. So I started working on my creative hustle, my creative career on the side, and it wasn't easy. For a year, I basically had two careers, but it made me feel very comfortable. And I think when you want to transition, when you want to start a business, become an entrepreneur, it's a very, very safe tactic, because you keep your day job, you keep your safety, you keep your income, and then you can show up with confidence in your new career. So that's what I did. It wasn't easy for a year, but it definitely paid off, because I ended up starting and doing something what I absolutely love.
And I think that's an important lesson there. If you have a passion that you love and you want to turn it into a career, that you're going to have to hustle some more in advance and keep that security. If you got bills to pay and you take that leap before you're ready, then that's going to stifle your creativity, I think, if you're coming at it from, oh, this has to work, I have to figure it out. That's not the kind of energy that's going to foster your creativity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And people can notice it right away. Nobody is going to support us because we're desperate, because we have to make it, because our customers have their own charities to support, and they are not necessarily going to buy just because we have to make it. So I think it's very important to have this confident attitude, and this confident attitude can come from the security that our day job will provide until we notice that our side hustle can take off.
So wait a minute. Anna, what about leap in the net will appear? What about that? What about the people who are like, if you wait to be ready, you're never going to be fully ready? Like, when do you give yourself a push off that cliff?
Well, that's the thing. It's definitely a challenging decision, because as I write in my book, Your Creative Career, we tend to always look for a bigger cushion, you know, and never be ready. So there is definitely a danger in that. But, you know, getting ready, preparing yourself, maybe setting that goal for, you know, how much money do we have to make from our creative career in order for us to be able to quit our day job. So, you know, planning is extremely important. And I think people who don't plan and then just quit, you know, jumping in feet first without knowing the what's going to happen, they're definitely risking a lot. So I would think, you know, research, planning, and setting that goal of making an income from your side business, and then making it, okay, once I reach that, I'm ready to quit, and sticking with it, not making sure, okay, but maybe I need more. Because I'm a big proponent of working with what you have. You can definitely, you know, start small and build up on that and reinvest your profits, bootstrap. Again, many people say that entrepreneurs are risk takers, but I think it's I would advise to avoid risk at all costs, because it definitely shows.
I think it's a combination. There's arguments for both. There's arguments for you better have a safety net, and then there's arguments for
burning
just
the
take
boats.
The leap. And I think there's even a book of what you just said before. I think it's actually a leap in the net will appear. Mm-hmm. There might even be a book title. And it also could be a personal thing. Like, do you do well under pressure? And if you do well under pressure, take the leap and hustle. Or maybe you're not somebody that responds well to that. So finding that balance, knowing what's right for you. So let's get into your story a little bit more. So your side hustle started out as jewelry, Anna?
Yes. And yeah, I definitely agree with you that it all depends on the personality. So I started it as I started my jewelry brand while I was on Wall Street, and I continued it for a year. And what I did to make sure that it's going to work and I'm going to support myself, I'm able to support myself, I was testing. I would, you know, ask my customers, I would set up I would participate in small shows just to basically test and see if I'm onto something. Not only, it was important for me not only get feedback from friends and family, because they will always love what you make.
You're right. Or say they do.
Yeah. But it was also important to get the feedback, and also, is the feedback backed up by the money? Are there customers who are willing to pay for my products? And it was extremely, I definitely had to, you know, get out there and make a lot of, you know, it took a lot of energy and effort. But it's important, because we may fall in love with our products, and we may think, oh, this is, you know, this is gorgeous. My mom said told me so.
Right.
But
of course you
actually, but actually, are there people who, you know, random people, strangers, customers who like that and who are going to back up by buying it?
So people started buying your jewelry. And then,
Then
how did you take it to the next level? So you tested it. You started putting it in front of people. I think you said you went to trade shows. People started buying. How did you then take it to the next step to start building a bigger brand?
So I, you know, first I was in just a few, first I was selling literally at the Young Designers Market in Soho in New York. And then I made connections with little boutique owners in Brooklyn, downtown New York. And it just went bigger and bigger and bigger, because I was testing the product and because I had beautiful designs that people want. So it was easier to spread the word. It was easier to sell, because, you know, my customers, boutique owners, were seeing that they were able to make a profit with, you know, with my designs, and it was easy for them to sell. So it was just spread, you know, organically. I think if you spend a lot of time doing research, development, design, you may be able to spend a little bit less time on marketing and promotions. Like, I'm not going to say that the product will just sell itself, but it will be easier.
So, Anna, I have one question. Now, did you have any crossover from where you were? Now, you said you worked on Wall Street. Now, obviously, folks on Wall Street, you know, we all assume that they've got a few dollars and jewelry might be up their alley. Did you have any crossover when it came to testing your product? Did you have any coworkers or you know, the folks that, you know, maybe their wives, maybe family members that were interested in your stuff?
You never know who shows up to buy your stuff, but definitely my experience on Wall Street was so helpful because mm-hmm. it taught me structure, it taught me systems, and it taught me to treat the business like a business, not like a creative hobby. I'm going to follow my passion and make beautiful things. No, I'm making a sustainable business that's going to be profitable. So that was extremely helpful.
I love that you point that out. And here's something I want people to really hear. I don't care whether you're on Wall Street right now or whether you are flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. I really don't. No matter what job we're working in this moment, we are always taking away something with us that will be of value later. We're always learning something. And you may think, oh, I'm just doing this right now to get by. Well, put on a different hat or different lenses, I should say, and just be aware because you're learning things. You learn things in Wall Street that then have helped you create a successful business. I think you can learn things in any job that will help you later on. You just got to be open to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I so agree with that. I really believe that if you give your best, no matter what you do, there is this tacit learning and tacit inspiration that will lead you further. You can't just wake up like this and start a business. It's going to be a piece of a puzzle that, you know, will come to place to make this beautiful picture. But the beautiful picture comes from all your experiences, your jobs, your connections, your friends, your life. It's definitely the sum of the parts.
Anna, let me ask you this, and this is, it's kind of a rude question, but it's not meant to be rude.
I love it already.
Oh, yeah, good. You know, so for listeners who are out there listening, thinking, you know, all right, so I've got a big corporate job or I work for, you know, a big business, but I love, I don't know, crocheting doggy mittens. Let's just use that as an example, right? And by way of example, are you earning as much, if not more, with your jewelry business as you did when you were on Wall Street?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah, let's go there.
Okay.
Well, it definitely did not. It was not. At the beginning, I took a big pay cut, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. But over the years, okay, let me see. I was able to create a stream of passive income. I have two apartments in Greenwich Village in New York, and now I live in Hawaii, so I'm in between two places.
Well, so there you go then.
Okay.
That answers that question.
Alrighty then.
To create that, but let me just say that it was not, at the beginning, it was like, if I was going to compare and literally be like, oh, how much am I making per hour? I would probably cry. You know, it was, yeah, because it was 16-hour days and I didn't know where I was going to get there and how, but you know, just like hustle and just doing what you love and constantly learning. I am constantly taking courses. I have a coach, and just, you know, building upon what I know and expanding. You can never sit still when you own a business, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, so Anna, when you finally got to that point, like you said, after a year, when you gave yourself a particular time where maybe the money starts looking good enough that you can finally say, all right, I am now stepping into my jewelry business full time. What was that moment like? How difficult was that moment for you to finally say, I'm going to lose my safety net and I'm now here?
Oh, extremely difficult because I was so tempted to wait longer and to, you know, to wait to have more money and more experience. And I had insecurities. I was like, is this going to last or is it just for now? Mm-hmm. So I'm still getting shivers when I talk about it because I remember how scared I was. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
It was scary, definitely scary. It's you know, it's a risk. But I think when you, you know, I just have this idea in my mind, like you know, I can always wait tables. Like, I can always, like, do something for a while and then try again. And also, I got comfortable with the idea that it's not the last job. It's not that, like, it's my last,
right.
Opportunity to be on Wall Street. It's now or never. Like, there may be other positions and stuff. So I was just, you know, I had a lot of internal talks and I was able to quiet the voices and took a leap. Although family, friends, of course, it was not easy not to have the support, because it's difficult to support a decision like that, because, you know, my parents both have the same job for 30 years. Yep. And I was like, you're doing what? We've been so proud of you, like, to be on Wall Street and stuff.
You know, I think two key questions, Anna, and maybe you asked yourself these, is like, what's the worst that's going to happen if it fails? And like you said, I'll waitress, I'll survive, or I'll go back to doing in the finance and financial industry like I was. What's the worst that can happen? And then secondly, what if I don't try? Like, is the worst that's going to happen be worse or better than me always wondering if I didn't try it?
Yes, there's this regret, and, like, you know, the time goes by and we sit in the regret. We always, you know, want something else. We have this itch and we keep ignoring this itch. I would say, you know, starting acting, just even taking tiny steps toward what we really want to do. You don't have to take a huge leap. It depends on your personality again. But, you know, in your creative career, in the book, I'm talking about approaching change Kaizen style. So it's a Japanese style of making a change, of taking very, very tiny steps. And this way, the change can be more sustainable and less scary.
Makes sense. In your book, you have 12 creative insights, one of which is, you say successful marketing is about being where it matters, not about being everywhere. Can you speak to that for a minute, Anna?
Yeah, so we are so tempted to just follow the next shiny object. All these social media platforms keep showing up, but we have to be careful here, because it's so important to determine where are our customers and where are they already having the conversations. Instead of creating our conversations, because it's never about us, and until we understand it, I don't think we can have a successful business. It's about our customers and how we can serve them. So joining their conversations where they are having them already, is it Instagram, is it Pinterest, is it Medium, is it, you know, sending tweets, or maybe it's your newsletter for creatives that you send out every week. So I think connecting where it matters is more important than just feeling that you're missing out by not being on certain platforms.
And what's the expression? There's something about choose your niche and get rich or something. Like don't try to just mass market and try to sell as many as you can. Really drill down. This is one of the first steps. This is like business 101, is to profile who you intend to serve, to really know who is that person. What are their habits? What are their passions? Like, even create, I've seen people give the advice of, like, create an image or a fake
an
name
avatar
for this person. Like, yeah, a whole, and every time you make a decision, you're thinking about that person or that profile you have of that person. So know who it is you want to serve and know how, what it is you love to do, and your creative talents are going to then serve that and market to that.
Yeah, I agree. And also create a habit. People really love habits. You know, they will wait to hear from you. If it's every Tuesday, if it's every day, if it's, you know, once a week, just kind of meet their expectations of, oh, they're going to hear from you on that day. They're, you know, become a part of their routine. And I think grit and consistency may sometimes be way more important than talent in business.
I'm laughing at myself because
consistency.
The consistency part I'm not so good at. Anna, we're about wrapping up here. We're wrapping up here with Anna Sabino. She is the owner of Lucid New York, a jewelry line, and she is the author of the recent book, Your Creative Career. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners that we have not yet covered? And then we want to make sure people know how to find you and your book.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is this quote also in the book, wear your two large wings with confidence, you will grow into them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would like to leave off with, because we are never going to be ready for what's ahead of us. But, you know, wearing our two large wings with confidence, because we will definitely grow into them, is a helpful thought to just keep in mind.
Very good. And your website is Anna2EndsSabino.com. Your book available on Amazon, I imagine, BarnesandNoble.com?
Yep. Okay. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and there are free resources for entrepreneurs at AnnaSabino.com. I also send out a newsletter for creatives every Tuesday. So, yeah.
Well, very good. Sounds Congratulations great. On your success on your new book, and thank you for taking the time to talk with us, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Anna. You take care. Thank you again for all the help and for everybody else out there that was able to get something out of this. Anna, they thank you as well.
Thank you so much.
All right. Happy Hour is going to be back, and we are going to be talking to...
We have a winner. We're going to talk about that.
That's right. We have a winner. Back. And then we're also going to have a quick special guest coming up in our last segment, Mary Kay Verba from Dutchess County Tourism. She's been on with us before, and she has wants to talk to us about something coming up with the culinary that sounds fun.
All right. That sounds good, and that is on the way. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we've got more to come right here at 92.9 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
This is Happy Hour here at 92.9 WBPM, and we are back with Jonna and Carol. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Well, an absolutely fantastic interview there earlier today with Anna.
Anna Sabino,
she gave some great advice on folks that might have, you know, something on the side, a side gig if they might want to turn, side hustle, that's what I was looking for, and try to turn it into something more lucrative, something more full-time.
It can be done. You got to be willing to hustle. You got to have that passion. And I think passion is the key part. She definitely had this creative force. She wanted to create this jewelry. She was successful at it. But look, things are not always going to be smooth. It's going to take work.
No.
You're going to hit obstacles. That's why I think it has to be rooted in something you genuinely love and have a passion for, because that's what's going to keep you going through it.
Passion and plan.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's right.
All right. Well, now we've got a local event coming up, and we're going to talk to Mary Kay, CEO of Dutchess County Tourism, or just Dutchess Tourism, Mary Kay?
Dutchess Tourism. Mary Kay Verba, welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you all.
We always love talking with you, and Hudson Valley is such an amazing place. It's so funny that it's oftentimes I have people come visiting from out of town that I go then and enjoy some of the local things that are right here in our backyard. And we always appreciate everything that you do to promote tourism here in Dutchess County, the wonderful place we get to call home. But you mentioned to me that we have something fun, and I'm a coffee nut. We have a cool event coming up at the Culinary. What is that?
We do. It's called a Cup of the Valley Coffee and Tea Festival on April 22nd. We want everybody to mark their calendar and come and join us for this great festival. And we're going to have lots of local coffee roasters and some local tea companies. And there's going to be a Japanese tea ceremony, some music, some exhibits, some food. So it's going to be from 11 to 3. And you can go on a cupofthevalley.com to buy your early tickets and get a little discount.
And this is held at the Culinary Sunday, April 22nd. Can you imagine how good it's going to smell in there with like 20 coffee roasters?
God. But no, can I just tell you something though? Like, I love coffee.
Me
and
too.
And I like tea, but if you're going to put them both in the same event, I'm going to so ignore the tea, like the dude that's not as good looking as the coffee dude, like just ignore.
Right.
Yeah, I can't.
That would be
coffee's
me.
Coffee's my thing.
Glass of Chardonnay? Cosmopolitan. Cosmopolitan's got me every time. Right? Love you, Chardonnay.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? That's got you.
Nothing like a good cup of coffee.
Know it.
Absolutely. Do you know some of the vendors, local vendors that are going to be there, Mary Kay?
I do. There's going to be... Poughkeepsie Grind, who's doing their own roasting right now. North River Roasters from the Underwear Factory, Irving Farm Coffee from out in Millerton. So there's quite a lineup. Harney's Teas will be there with their teas. Adams is coming in with their locally roasted coffee that they have. So there's going to be some really great vendors.
You know, so I guess something creepy happened to me last night. This is the second time creepy. This has happened. Well, the first thing a couple of weeks ago when I was making the cake and I said, and I typed into Google how best to work with. That's all I typed in. And the son of a gun filled in fondant. And that's what I was talking about. And that kind of freaked, like, of all the things people are searching Google, how best to work with, how, Google, did you know that I was looking for fondant?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so yesterday, my husband loves the hot cinnamon spice Harney and Sons tea. And I know I can get it at Adams, and I'd stopped at one of the grocery stores. They didn't have it. So, you know what? I wonder if I can get that on Amazon. So I go into Amazon and I type in Harney and Sons, and what's the first product that comes up?
Honey and spice tea.
Hot cinnamon spice tea.
And then it also told you what you were wearing, didn't it?
Come on now. Now, I don't know if that happens to be their most popular flavor or somebody's listening.
Their cinnamon tea is one of their top sellers.
All right, then. Okay.
Yeah.
Mary Kay, I have a great idea. When you're talking with these vendors before the event, I think it would be cool if one of them would invent a roast called either Happy Hour Roast or JK&F Roast. Or, I'm not saying that we would buy that up by the billions.
Or promote it every Sunday.
Well, we might.
How about a JKMK?
Oh, JKMK.
Well, we got to get our F in there.
Yeah, we got our F. JKMK and F. No, F and MK.
Yes!
JK.
Yes!
Okay, we got it. All right. I'm down. I'm down for a couple of pounds of beans of that.
And while you're at it, Mary Kay, you need another one that's just called Jonna Spillboard Law. This coffee is better than what you were thinking about before you got in the car. Okay.
If you just want to put a little bug in someone's ear, Mary Kay, because you got their ears right now.
Well, that's it. That's it. And, you know, we just want them to come out and have a good time taste all the great roasts. We've got other folks there from Rob Roast Coast Coffees. We got Sukup's coming with their maple syrup. We've got the Crafted Cup. We've got Cadarso's cookies, so a little coffee, a little dessert, a little tea.
I was just
going to
say, yeah. Is there any food there? Now is the culinary going to do any cooking? Are there any of the restaurants going to be open?
No, they won't be. Sunday they won't be available, but there will be a lot of good other tastes, and of course it's all going to be topped off with some good Hudson Valley fresh dairy product. So
I just walk through there and just smell it. I'll be happy. All right, so give us the lowdown on that again. The name of it, date.
It's
time,
A Cup of the Valley. Coffee and Tea Festival, April 22nd from 11 to 4. And you can go on acupofthevalley.com and pre-buy your tickets at a discount. The cost will be a little higher the day of the event. And children 16 and under are free when accompanied by an adult.
Very good. Anything else that's happening in Hudson Valley that people need to know about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of good stuff coming up. First, for our businesses, we have a tourism conference on April 4th. We'd like to invite everybody to come out. We're going to have some great sessions, and we're also doing our visitor profile study update. We've got some great lunch and learns every Wednesday that you can go on to duchesstourism.com and get more information. But there's going to be a lot of great summer events with the Dragon Boat Races and Hudson Valley Bike Ride, and there's so many to mention that people should just go sign up for our e-newsletter and get it to come to your box every month.
And they can go to duchesstourism.com and you have a calendar and everything that's upcoming there.
That's right. Everything you can imagine and more.
All right. So I have a question for you. There's a movie coming out that was filmed entirely in the Hudson Valley called A Quiet Place.
Yes. Huh.
And starring John Krasinski. They were filming in Beacon. So did you get to meet John?
I didn't.
Darn it.
I know. I was so disappointed. Tried a couple of times, but, you know, movie schedules and my schedule, it just, We're all just so busy.
Well, you know, listen, next time you need to stalk somebody, you need to call Jonna because she is a pro. She's been stalking
I'm a pro
Bradley.
Stalker.
She's been stalking Bradley Cooper.
Mary Kay, if you need stalking advice, I'll give you my cell.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We'll get that after that.
And I saw the trailer for that, for the very first trailer last night. Well, when I first read about the concept of the movie, I thought it was brilliant.
It is.
You know, and I saw the trailer last night, and the trailer, because you read the concept, you know, which is basically it's what aliens that hunt you down
by sound. Yeah.
So the concept is they're out in the woods and they have to be as quiet as possible,
and
an entire
kids,
family.
And yeah, good luck with that.
But then I saw the trailer for it last night. I was like, wow, that was creepy. Yes, it looks good.
Yeah, here's the conundrum. I don't like scary movies. They don't come in the bubble. They are not allowed in Carol's big bubble world. But I'm a fan of John Krasinski, and I know that some of this was filmed in my hometown in Beacon, so I'm going to have to go deal with it.
Yeah, a lot of Beacon, a lot of Pawling, a lot of Dover. So it should be really good when it comes out on the 6th, this next Friday, and would encourage people to go see it. I think, people will be very surprised.
I think it's going to be good.
Awesome.
All right. Mary Kay Verba, president and CEO of Duchess Tourism. They got a fabulous coffee and tea event coming up at the Culinary April 22nd. Go to duchesstourism.com or acupofthevalley.com also for more information, right?
That's it. Thank you so much.
All right, Mary Kay. Thanks for hanging with us.
Yes, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you out at that event.
Thank you.
All right. She's so cool. I always like talking with her. She does so much for the Hudson Valley. We're so lucky to have her.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Is that enough?
I think we're pretty good. Yes. There you go. Thank you, Mary Kay. And yes, I think we're done. And, eventually, like I said, we will see you out on the 22nd there at the Culinary. But for everybody else, thank you for joining us here with Happy Hour on the Sunday morning. And, oh, wait a minute. You had a winner.
Oh, her finger's up. Yeah.
My finger's up.
Jonna's finger's up, by the way, Mary Kay. Everybody be quiet.
Last week, we had a fabulous guest, Gary John Bishop, author of Un-F Yourself, and we put a little contest on Facebook because he was generous enough to donate a book that we were going to pay forward to a lucky listener, and that book is going to go to Nicole Renee Kilberg, who had the right answer to the question that I posed on Facebook. I will contact you, Renee, and get your deets so we can get that book to you.
Sounds good.
All right, that sounds good, and we'll have more books in the future because we've got nothing but fantastic guests here who have written tremendous books. So that is all on the way. And we will be back again next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, Happy Hour, with Jonna and Carol and some dude. Thank you, Mary Kay.
And Frankenberry.
Thank you.
All right. This has been Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we will return next week, same time. I'm right here, 92.9 WBPM.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.